We're going to hear the gospel story. Rachel's going to begin.
When morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus in order to bring about his death. They bound him and led him away and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "You have said so," Jesus replied. When he was accused by the chief priests and the elders, he gave no answer. Then Pilate asked him, "Don't you hear the testimony they are bringing against you?" But Jesus made no reply, not even to a single charge, to the great amazement of the governor. Now it was the governor's custom at the festival to release a prisoner chosen by the crowd. At the time, they had a well-known prisoner whose name was Jesus Barabbas. So when the crowd had gathered, Pilate asked them, "Which one do you want me to release to you, Jesus Barabbas or Jesus who is called the Messiah?" For he knew it was out of self-interest that they had handed Jesus over to him. While Pilate was sitting in the judge's seat, his wife sent him a message. "Don't have anything to do with that innocent man, for I have suffered a great deal today in a dream because of him." But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowd to ask for Barabbas and to have Jesus executed. "Which of the two do you want me to release to you?" asked the governor. "Barabbas," they answered. "What shall I do then with Jesus, who is called the Messiah?" Pilate asked. They all answered, "Crucify him." "Why? What crime has he committed?" asked Pilate. But they shouted all the louder, "Crucify him." When Pilate saw that he was getting nowhere, but that instead an uproar was starting, he took water and washed his hands in front of the crowd. "I am innocent of this man's blood," he said. "It is your responsibility." All the people answered, "His blood is on us and on our children." Then he released Barabbas to them. Pilate then took Jesus and had him flogged and handed him over to be crucified.
Jesus is condemned to death. The very air that Pilate breathes, the voice with which he speaks in judgment, all his power of perception and discrimination, choice, decision, all his years, his days and hours, his consciousness of self, his very sense, are given by this prisoner, freely given. The man who stands there making no defense is God. His hands are tied. His heart is open. And he bears Pilate's heart in his and feels that crushing weight of wasted life. He lifts it up in silent love. He lifts and heals. He gives himself again with all his gifts into our hands. As Pilate turns away, a door swings open. This is Judgment Day.
Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him. and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand. Then they knelt in front of him and mocked him. "Hail, King of the Jews," they said. They spit on him and took the staff and struck him on the head again and again. After they had mocked him, they took off the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
Just this morning, in the Lent book that I'm using, I came across this idea that Jesus, having been his own clothes put on him at this point, later on they strip him of his clothes before his crucifixion. And the idea, one idea, is that in stripping your clothes off, you're preparing for battle. And this is a quotation from an Anglo-Saxon poem called The Dream of the Rood, in which the passion is narrated by the cross itself. And the cross sees this stripping of Jesus, not as an imposed humiliation, but as a heroic preparation. Then the young hero, it was God Almighty, strong and steadfast, stripped himself for battle. He climbed up on the high gallows, constant in his purpose, mounted it in the sight of many, mankind to ransom. I just offer that as a different thought to the way we're hearing the narrative. Thank you, Rachel.
Two other men, both criminals, were also led out to be executed. When they came to the place called the Skull, they crucified him there, along with the criminals, one on his right, the other on his left. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." And they divided up his clothes by casting lots. The people stood watching, and the rulers even sneered at him. They said, "He saved others. Let him save himself if he is God's Messiah, the chosen one." The soldiers also came up and mocked him. They offered him wine vinegar and said, "If you're the King of the Jews, save yourself." It was 9 a.m. when they crucified him. The written notice of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
Our Lord, our peace, and carry us home.
crucifixion, Jesus is nailed to the cross. See, they strip the robe from off his back and spread his arms and nail them to the cross. The dark nails pierce him and the sky turns black and love is firmly fastened onto loss. But here a pure change happens. On this tree, loss becomes gain. Death opens into birth. Here, wounding heals and fastening makes free. Earth breathes in heaven and heaven roots in earth. And here we see the length and breadth and height where love and hatred meet and love stays true. Where sin meets grace and darkness turns to light. We see what love can bear and be and die. And here our Saviour calls us to his side. His love is free. His arms are open wide.
Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to her, "Woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. At noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And at 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Jesus dies on the cross. The dark nails pierce him and the sky turns black. We watch him as he labors to draw breath. He takes our breath away to give it back. Return it to its birth through his slow death. We hear him struggle, breathing through the pain, who once breathed out his spirit on the deep, who formed us when he mixed the dust with rain and drew us into consciousness from sleep. His spirit and his life he breathes in all, mantles his world in his own atmosphere. And now he comes to breathe within the pool of our pollutions, draw our injured air to cleanse it and renew. His final breath breathes and bears us through the gates of death.
Later, knowing that everything had now been finished, and so that scripture would be fulfilled, Jesus said, "I am thirsty." A jar of wine vinegar was there, so they soaked a sponge in it, put the sponge on a stalk of the hyssop plant, and lifted it to Jesus' lips. When he received the drink, Jesus said, "It is finished." With that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit.
Jesus' body is taken down from the cross. His spirit and his life he breathes in all. Now on the cross, his body breathes no more. Here at the center, everything is still spent and emptied, open to the core. Quiet taking down, apprising loose, a crossbeam lowered like a weighing scale, unmaking of each thing that had its use, a long withdrawing of each blooded nail. This is ground zero, emptiness and space, with nothing left to say or think or do, but look unflinching on the sacred face that cannot move or change or look at you. Yet in the prizing loose and letting be, he has unfastened you and set you free.